morning, everyone. It's The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry with Amy Holmes. And we've got some big economic news coming out this morning.
We do. And with us here in the studio to discuss and prognosticate is Lakshman Achuthan, Managing Director of the Economic Cycle. Lakshman, we're going to get your predictions a little bit later in the show. But first, I want to ask you, the government is going to come out with their numbers. Mm-hmm. How do you come out with yours when you're crunching and guesstimating?
Well, I'm very careful. We use some government data. We use some survey data where you call up people or you ask questions. And then we use market data where you just say, how much does something cost? And these are three different sources of data. All of them are slightly imperfect. But when you put them together, you have less risk of being wrong. And we try to focus on the things that move first, that drive the economic cycle.
And, you know, we've had you here before talking about leading indicators versus mm-hmm. lagging indicators, but I thought we'd focus today on you split out the economy and look at different sectors. You go deep into particular places as examples of what's going on in the broader economy.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you can look at the industrial sector. It has big, big cycles, so you can focus in there, even though it's not the majority of the economy.
Well, Lakshman, you know, because we are in radio and we can do absolutely anything that we want, we decided to find a trap door in the economy, and we opened it up, and we actually sent, it's around here somewhere, we sent Femi Oke down into it to rummage around in the economy and actually come up with some of these economic indicators that you look at as a sort of a statistical model. Femi?
I thought you'd never let me out of that dungeon. Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. Well, Lakshman and I worked together this week. He gave me a list of just random words, dogs, condoms, shoes, and then sent me out to report to see what I could find. So we're going to start at the Animal Haven Shelter. That's in New York.
So your first economic indicator involves pets.
Pets.
Okay.
We'll start with pets. I want you to meet a young lady. Her name is Yue Shu. She's beautiful. She's personable. She's a party girl, basically. Before the recession, she used to go out a lot. Now she's trying to save her money. But she's looking for a puppy to adopt. Now, she wants something, somebody to love. I met her with her girlfriends. Her girlfriends are going to be the adoptive parents of this new puppy. And when I met her, she was falling in love with Casey.
Oh, you want to carry her?
We love
her.
She's
very soft, and she definitely is just a puppy. Her ears are really floppy.
I would want to spend all of my money on her. Forget food for myself.
Spoil her.
I'm going to live at Petco.
Ah, there's the economics.
Lakshman, don't you wish you were that puppy?
Oh, yeah. I love dogs.
All right, so mushy, smushy, but the economics is?
Well, to adopt a puppy at the Animal Haven, it costs $250. Now, if you were going to buy a puppy, it would be at least double that, maybe $800 going up into the thousands of dollars. So that was a trend that I found. But Lakshman, you sent me out on a slightly different mission, and I was finding some different kind of data.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is, and we didn't see this coming. A client came to us, a major pet food company, and they wanted to talk to us about the relationship called doggy downtime. How long do you wait after your dog passes away before you get another dog? And this is related directly, closely to where we are in the business
cycle. All
right,
now how does that work?
Just
how does that
work? Emotional decision?
Well, no, it's essentially there's a financial decision here, and Femi's touching on it, where the cost of love in this case, you know, can be put off a little bit until the economy firms a little bit, and you also see it in the
quality. Wait a minute, let me just back up a second. So dog dies.
Yep.
I'm really upset.
Yep.
During certain economic times, you would expect that person to replace the dog.
Look, normally your instinct is to do it right away.
Right away, okay.
Or as soon as you've grieved and you're ready to go.
And the recessionary indicator is?
That it takes longer. Uh-huh. Doggy downtime gets longer recessions.
All right, well, let's hear the sound of doggy downtime actually in action, Femi.
Okay, this is over at the ASPCA. I'm finding another trend as well, which is called maybe the adoption uptick.
There you go.
So what we're seeing, actually, Lakshman, is I talked to a number of shelters, and they're seeing an uptick in adoptions, more people adopting, but there's a lag time between how long the dogs are normally staying in the shelters.
Yep.
So I up to the ASPCA, the headquarters are here in New York. I spoke to Dr. Stephen Zafistowski, and he explained the link between the economy and how long the dogs are staying at the shelter.
When people are having a difficult economic period, they're also thinking twice about, should I bring another pet into my home? They were going to adopt because they were doing okay. Now if they're a little closer to the red line in their budget, they may say, I don't think I have time or money to get a pet.
So what's good for pets may be bad for other parts of the economy. What's bad for pets may be good for other parts of the economy.
Absolutely. This is. I mean, I think the intention is often there with people, but sometimes your budget limits what you can do, and you're seeing that. You also see it in the quality of food that you give your pet.
I was going to say, the cost of a pet is not just at buying it, but you know, maintaining it.
Absolutely.
So you can extrapolate out from those kinds of tiny little details.
Well, those can confirm kind of where we are, and we use that to confirm very much that we've been in a recession.
So let me give you some hard figures here. Adoptions are up around about 15 to 20%. Animals are staying in the shelters much longer than they normally would. Pet shelters are getting less money, so they're really struggling. And, of course, in the city shelters, if they don't get rid of the animals really quickly, what happens is they get euthanized. Little connection between the Great Depression and now. Yeah. In the Great Depression in New York, 300,000 animals were given up to pet shelters. 296,000 were euthanized. This year they're expecting around about 15,000 animals to be euthanized just in the city of New York. So that's sort of like some hard figures and hard data. But something that is actually kicking the trend is people just needing something, somebody to love. So they're changing their lifestyle to accommodate for the economy.
There's a couple who were planning on adopting a puppy in the fall after they went on their vacation, but when they met this one particular puppy, they knew that they were in love, and so instead of going away on vacation in a few weeks, they decided they were just going to stay in New York and do a staycation with their new puppy.
So that's Jennifer Bristol. She's the director of operations at the Animal Haven Shelter.
So that suggests that in the recession, people are really making trade-offs, and one part of the economy might benefit, and another part of the economy, the travel industry, suffers.
Absolutely, the staycation. And what's happening here is essentially a version of nesting, where you're saying, you know, I don't need to go across the world and do these things. I'm going to stay at home. I'm going to make my home better, warmer, more nourishing for me, and that may include a pet.
And people are also using things longer, maybe postponing a decision to buy and maybe fixing something rather than actually getting something new. Right, Femi?
Absolutely. And so I went along to a cobbler, shoe repair guy on Wall Street, of all places. His name is Minas. He's been making shoes for over 57 years. And at the height of when the banks were collapsing last fall, his customers were coming in and saying goodbye. They worked for JP Morgan. They worked for AIG. So I asked him, what kind of clientele did he actually have?
I have customers from regular salary. I have customers billionaires in here, believe it or not.
Can you show me a billionaire's shoes? I just want to touch. I want to touch some money.
No, the money. It's the shoes they fit and they're comfortable.
Billionaires need comfortable shoes, period, the end.
Absolutely.
Oh, my
Ever
God,
changes.
Shoes.
So Minas Polokranakis is fixing shoes on Wall Street, and I was there for 2 hours. The shoe shop was busy. It was heaving. He's doing great business.
But Bruno Mali can't be happy.
Well, how do you extrapolate out from that? People postponing decisions, but the repair business going through the roof.
Absolutely. It's discretionary spending. It's the same idea of not getting a new car, although now we've got a boost in cars, and maybe fixing it and fixing the house instead of getting a new house. And this is something that we were observing literally over half a century ago
right. In
this economy. And that kind of thing, even though we find ourselves so modern and all these things, some things don't change.
Very quickly, how do you distinguish between necessities and the luxuries of the world? Because they're different tracks. They're different engines.
Well, in the broad swaths of the economy, education, healthcare, you need those. You don't have a choice. You can't, like, say, I don't want to go to school because it's a recession, for example, or I'm not going to the doctor. But when it comes down to a fancy pair of shoes or a long, expensive vacation, you can also do something different.
So there's more economic truth in the discretionary luxury items than in the necessities. Interesting.
Absolutely.
Femi, you got... I don't know whether this is a necessity or a luxury, what you're about to talk about.
I'm just going to finally change the mood. Something a little sultry here. So finally on my list of discretionary items, condoms. So I went off to a
discretionary?
Yes. Sometimes it's a necessity. So I went off to Babeland in Soho in New York to see what the customers there were buying and how important it was to them. So meet Rosa here from Massachusetts.
Rosa's very quiet.
She is very quiet.
A little shy about that.
Yeah, so
well, I'm here with my sister and my daughter, and she just introduced us to the store and wanted us to know there were all kinds of enhancements to the sexual adventure. And we were looking at vibrators, and even though this is a recessionary time where people are counting their pennies, one I brought is a very nice tree.
So economic indicator, vibrators up, is that what you're saying?
Yes, high-quality vibrators up and condoms off the shelf.
Social indicator that this is a family excursion?
Family intimacy show. Is really important
Before
in the economy.
Lachman Achuthan, what is your prediction for the unemployment rate when it comes out later this month or this morning?
Yeah, the unemployment rate's going to edge up.
9.6 or 7.
There you
All
go.
All right, we got you on the record.
Thank you, Lachman Achuthan, Economic Cycle Research Institute.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.